Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Okay. So there's a question about who can find something in verse 10, Ezekiel. What is the question about? What is the question about finding? What is being searched for? It says, who can find a
wife?
A wife. And not just any kind of wife. What kind of wife, Victoria?
Virtuous.
A virtuous wife. Excellent wife. A wife of valor. A mighty wife. An outstanding wife. Well, let's see what a valuable, excellent, good, mighty wife is like. For her worth is far above rubies. Okay, so what kind of wife is worth far more than rubies? A virtuous one. Okay, not necessarily a popular one. In fact, often the virtuous wife is the kind of lady who has been all her life behind the scenes serving and has a modest and chaste, gentle and quiet spirit, usually not putting herself out there and making herself the center of attention. So there is some finding that you have to do. The other kind of girl, the other kind of young lady, she helps you find herself. Right? She's always drawing attention to herself. Not a whole lot of finding there. That's like fishing in a barrel. The virtuous one has her focus on many other things because she's serving the Lord and serving others and not trying to make a display of herself. But is she worth finding? What is she worth, Beatrice?
Far more than rubies.
Now, among the people of God who are learning the word of God and who have the fear of God, right? What is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And we know that who is really at the heart of the book of Proverbs? Whom do you think, John? Who is the perfectly wise man and the only one in whom we can even start to become wise?
Jesus.
Jesus is. All right, well, if you are one of those who belong to Christ by faith and you are growing in this wisdom as the character of Jesus is worked out in you, Ezekiel, ladies, then you will be among, hopefully, among those who are virtuous. God blessing the use of the means of his grace day by day in the homes in our congregation, week by week in the assembly and on the Lord's Day fellowship in our congregation. Hopefully there will be many above rubies wives being produced and to be found, and also in other like-minded congregations. There are many, many good reasons to pray for the church at large. It honors Christ. It is the only hope for this nation. But it's not a terrible thing to add to those reasons that there would be many more above rubies wives produced in other congregations, and that there would be other men who have come to wholeheartedly agree with Proverbs 31 that the value of the woman who loves the Lord is a virtuous and excellent and mighty wife, is far above rubies, and isn't looking for the kind of ladies, for the kind of wives that so many do look for. Okay, so let's see. The first thing it says about her that makes her so valuable to him: the heart of her husband safely trusts her. Okay, he doesn't just trust her. What does it say about his trusting her, Carissa? He safely trusts her. He doesn't even have to worry about it. He doesn't even have to ask a question whether or not he can rely on her, whether or not she is going to support him and help him in the things that he needs to do in his calling. First and foremost, his calling in the home, to be her head and to lead her, to love her as Christ loved the church, which doesn't just talk about manner. It also talks about goal and focus, right? So how did Christ love the church? We had that in John 13. Was John 13 today? I think so. It feels like a long time ago. Did you guys have John 13 yesterday? You have Judges yesterday. Okay. So you probably have Judges 13 when you go home. Okay. So Jesus' love for the church is especially aimed at cleansing the church. Right? That's what the foot washing was really all about. And Jesus in Ephesians 5, when it says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might do what? That he might sanctify her, that he might cleanse her by the washing of water with the word. Okay? So the heart of her husband safely trusts that she isn't going to be irritated by that. Now it takes humility, my dear ladies. Sophia, you're in that group too. Yes, you are. It takes humility to not get irritated at your husband trying to help you get holier. It takes remembering that that's his assignment from God, and that that's not him saying, I am thoroughly dissatisfied with you, or I am picking on you. Okay? The heart of her husband safely trusts her. Not only that she will respond well to and support him and help him in his leading her, but that she will respond well and support him and help him in his leading and shepherding the children. That the first and foremost thing that she will want out of her husband is that he leads family worship and he instructs the children. That the discipline with which he disciplines the children is the discipline of the Lord. It's not when dad is angry or inconvenienced. It's when dad sees that sin coming out of the child's heart through the actions. It's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And from inside the heart that all manner of uncleanness comes, Lord Jesus teaches us. That when he sees that coming out, he says, aha, we have learned many things from the book of Proverbs and from Ephesians 6 and other places about what my job is. You know, to give that discipline that aims at the holiness of the child. And therefore, it will never be bare discipline, right? It's the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That the mom won't be always trying to save the child from getting in trouble. But that the first thing that she will want out of him for the children is not that he will play sports with them, although that's all right. Spending time with them is a wonderful thing. Building a strong connection with your dad is a wonderful thing. But the strongest connections are built on your knees together and with your Bibles open together. And when the sin comes out, in those times of instruction, here's what the situation was, son. Here's what the Bible says. What did you do? Is that what the Bible says, daughter? What does the Bible say you deserve for that? Are you going to go to hell? Oh, you're not. Why aren't you going to go to hell? Oh, the Lord has taken his hell, or taking your hell upon himself. That's why Jesus became a man. That's right. Now, Jesus has earned and won your forgiveness. Is that all he's won? No, it's not. What else? That you would not just get heaven for his sake, but that you would be made ready for heaven. to someone who repays her brother evil for good? Is she ready for heaven?
No.
Or evil for evil? Either one. Evil for good would be really bad. To someone who repays her sister evil for evil? Is she ready for heaven?
No.
Why? Because the children of God, the children of their Father in heaven, who makes his sun to shine and his rain to fall on the unjust and the just alike, they repay good for evil. They love their enemies. So you must learn to love your enemies. Who can help you do that? The Lord Jesus. Yes, he can. Has he given Daddy any jobs? Yes. How does Daddy help you? He gives me the instruction. Well, they always remember the discipline. You always have to tell them. And this instruction. How is Daddy supposed to help you according to the Lord Jesus? By giving me discipline. What else is Daddy supposed to do? Pray with me. Take me to church. I get lots of interesting answers. Yes, all those things. But also to do what we're doing now, right? To give, okay. You're looking for a man who'll do that. And you are looking for a woman who wants you to do that. That your heart safely trusts her. You start talking to her about having family worship or keeping the Lord's Day or attending an ordinary means of grace church, and she's kind of hemming and hawing and not really sure. Well, there are some things that are so central to what your life is going to be together that really puts her outside the Proverbs 31, 10, and 11 category. Because you need to safely trust her. You need to know that she will be 100% with you on the most important things in your calling. Okay, so that we'll keep going. Who can find a virtuous wife for her? Worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. One of the things God has appointed for the godly man to help him in his progress in shepherding his wife, in his progress in shepherding his children, in his progress in leading his family, in actively serving in the church and in the community, in his progress in whatever his daily calling is, that he would serve the Lord in that, is the wife that he can safely trust. One of the things that this is saying is that if you don't have a wife that you can safely trust, or if you don't support your husband in all those things, and if you're not his greatest help in all of the different callings he has, then you should expect that things will not go well. He will not make headway in shepherding you. You will be frustrated with your lack of growth in grace. He will not make headway in shepherding and training and teaching your children. You may get some outward conformity for a while, especially if they're particularly frightened of you, or they particularly enjoy the relational benefits, or maybe even material benefits, or whatever privileges you use as carrots to dangle them along. But you're going to find that the genuine gain of training and shepherding the children evaporates into thin air as soon as those children are out of the house. Why? Because one of God's means for the dad's leading and training those children is a wife that he can safely trust to support him in doing it the biblical way. And if God has appointed means, he's going to honor those means. And if those means haven't been employed, we should not be surprised. When the children leave the home and they decide it's not so important to be reformed, and it's not so important to go to church, it may not even be so important to be a Christian, might not even be important to believe in God. And, you know, my children haven't seen this happen so much here. They've only been here 2 years. But I know that you all have seen kids that were the big kids when you were the little kids that left the home and left the Lord. And we pray for them now on Wednesday nights when we pray through the folder. Well, If that's the case, then let's pay special attention. Okay, so the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. And that's in leading her, that's in leading the children, that's in serving in the church. She does him good and not evil. She aims at his well-being and not his harm all the days of her life. Now, this is one thing the young ladies should be aiming at growing into. Young men, if you are not learning to sacrifice your life for others, then I don't know how you think you're going to be able to do it for your wife. Okay, if you are not giving yourself for the good of your family, giving yourself for the good of your parents, giving yourself for the good of your siblings, giving yourself for the good of the others in the church, if you are one-track mind obsessed with the things that are fun, and you pour your life into that, it's going to be very difficult for you to give yourself for the good of your wife all the days of your life, loving her as Christ loved the church and laid himself down for her. Now, what's going to happen if you actually find yourself worth far above Ruby's virtuous wife, and she is giving her life to do you good and not evil all the days of her life, and you are not loving her as Christ loved the church? You are going to have one very valuable, very miserable wife, who part of the good that she does you all the days of her life will be crying out to God in grief that he would bring your heart around to him. I think one of the only things worse than marrying a woman who is not like this is marrying a woman who is like this and you not being the corresponding husband and making her life miserable. Much better to have your life made miserable than to be on the other end. You ladies as well. Very much so. A wife and a mother spends her life doing her husband good and not evil all the days of her life. This is why the Titus 2 woman, when it talks about a Titus 2 woman, it's not talking about a young 20-something who thinks she knows everything, leading a Bible study of other young 20-somethings. Okay, that's the way the verse is used. It's older women who have already loved their husbands, loved their children, been keepers at home, obeyed their husbands, all the things that are listed there, given themselves. And you know what? That is hard. That takes waking up in the morning and saying, my body is a living sacrifice. These hands are sacrificed to Jesus today. My time is sacrificed to Jesus today. Every part of me is sacrificed to Jesus today. And this is my calling. That's why the older women who have been through that and done what they feel like is miserably poorly, that's why they're assigned in Titus 2 to carry themselves in a godly and dignified manner in their old age so that they will have that weightiness with which they can come alongside the younger women. Any younger women in here tonight? Six of them? It's a good group. So if they come alongside the younger women and say, I know you're not even married yet, honey, but you start now offering yourself as a living sacrifice to Jesus, because there are going to be days when you feel like you're being slaughtered. And then they come alongside you when you're newlywed and say, I know it's hard. You thought you were living for others your whole life, and then you got married and you found out what living for someone else is really like. Congratulations, you're married. But stick to it for Jesus' sake. He'll carry you along. And you know the Bible says that as you do so, you're worth far more than rubies. You do him good and not evil all the days of his life, honey. And then you start to have the children. And you thought it was hard before. And she comes along, that older lady. She says the same thing. And then one day, you've done your work, and you're the older lady.
And you're talking to the young ones, and then the newly married ones, and then the raising their children's ones. And what's happening? What is the Lord doing that whole time? He has opened up a jewel mine in his church. And there are piles of rubies being produced. Little daughters, second and third and fourth generations. Great big groups of them like goslings all over the place. Jewel children. Now, if the young men in the congregation, especially as they start to approach marriageable age, are not valuing what Proverbs 31 says to value, that'll put a real dent in it for the girls. Because if all the flashy or even immodest dressers and make a great big display of themselvesers and not, you know, making a life out of strengthening their mother's hands at homesers. You know, if the wrong kind of girls are getting all the attention, then the virtuous ones, the rubies, are going to wonder what's wrong with them. And they're going to be 15, wondering if they'll ever find someone 20, knowing that ideally they would have found someone by now 25, now thinking about how they might serve the Lord as a single woman for the rest of their lives, because there just aren't the kind of guys around who prefer the wives who are worth more than rubies. Don't let the wives who are worth more than rubies end up that way. All right, just three verses, but there's a lot there. May the Lord Jesus not only bring us to faith in himself so that we are right with him, which I trust is the case with most of us at this table, but may he produce in us his character so that we have far above rubies women and men who are looking for that kind of wife. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your great mercy to us, that in these proverbs, which you providentially arrange, might exactly match the days of the month, we would have so much good instruction, practical instruction, that describes to us what the character of Christ looks like when it's worked out in us. Oh Lord, grant that a few generations hence, what we have thought about from these three verses will be will have been blessed by you, that every single young person at this table would now represent a new covenant line from which many young ladies who are worth far more than rubies and the kind of wife that they grow up to be, and many young men who know how to find a jewel and what one looks like and are preparing to be a husband that corresponds to such a woman, that many of each would be brought up among their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, so that the knowledge of Christ and the love of him and the following of him would fill this part of your world and even unto the ends of the earth. Grant it, O Lord, we ask in Jesus' name and for his glory, and your children at this table say, Amen.